Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, brothers and sisters, and glad that you decided to join in and study some of our Lord's Word today. Today we're going to be going into study number 18 in the ABCs of Christian Growth, which is the letter R, and we're going to be talking about the return of Jesus Christ. And it's kind of peculiar the way that this lesson is falling in this time in our nation. Having this going on, it's right now March the 28th as I'm sitting here today, and I don't know when you're listening to this, but right around this time is when the pandemic's going on with the coronavirus. And the peculiar thing about this is there's several things that are peculiar about it, and not trying to get you thinking into the way that we're going to think about anything is what saith the Lord and what does the Bible say. Well, the funny thing about this coronavirus is I've not heard anybody talking about God at all. I mean, at all. I've not heard anybody mention that the Lord could be behind this. I've not even heard anybody cuss the Lord or anything at all. It's not in the papers. I don't read the paper, but everything I see about the paper, you don't see anybody saying that. You don't hear it on the news, and I don't listen to the news, but the news that I have heard, God's not mentioned. I don't hear people in society talking about the Lord. I don't see anybody holding signs. I don't see anybody doing nothing. Nothing. The Lord's not in society anymore. He's been booted completely out of society. He's not even a consideration in this thing. The way that they're trying to fix this pandemic, they call it, and by the way, it's global this time. I don't know what surprises people about there being the Bible calls them, they call it a pandemic, I don't know what surprises them about this thing being going on as quick as it is. I think there's a little over a quarter of a million people that are affected globally, thousands and thousands are dead already. And it seems to be getting worse, but it's in 200 countries now. I don't know what surprises people that this stuff can't go on. You read in the Bible and they think the Bible is just an old history book and they took it down off the shelf and blew the dust off of it, and it might say something right about history and it might say something right about this or right about that. And it tells about the plagues that the Lord uses. The Lord is not foreign to using plagues and pestilence. They're all over the scriptures. The Lord's killed bunches of people because of their sinful ways and their perversion and their ungodliness. And he has sent plagues in just for specific purposes to kill specific people. I ain't saying that's what he's doing now, but the Lord is behind everything. Whether the devil's doing it or whether it's just something that is just happenstance that just came about, which I don't particularly believe. But the Lord is behind. He knows everything that's going on. He's omniscient. And he knows about everything that's going on. You don't think he sees all these people that are dying and all these people that are sick and that this virus is in over 200 nations? This is global. And one thing that the Lord said, the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here, was that you can read the sky. He says, but you can't tell the signs of the times. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back soon. And I know all the old preachers from in the 1800s and 1900s and so on and so forth, and all the good preachers, they preach the same thing. Well, because it's true. And you figure 100 years ago was, 1920? 100 years is nothing to the Lord. It means absolutely nothing. It's a breath to him. He lives in eternity. We live in time. The Bible says one day to the Lord is 1,000 years. Now, I can't stretch that in my imagination to understand it, but I can take it by faith and completely understand it. That time doesn't mean anything to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ came down in time, but he never talked about it. He talked about time concerning us, but he never talked about time concerning him. Anytime the Lord talked about things when he was here, he talked about things in eternal states. And if he did talk about any kind of time at all, he was comparing it to eternal things. The Lord told us, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. He said, the earth passeth away and the lust thereof. So the Lord lives in eternity. And this is a pretty bad thing that's going on right now. But we as Christians should not be surprised at it. As wicked as this world is, and as wicked as it, I mean, you're looking at something that's happening right now that's going to, I was going to say, hit the history books. It's going to be something that's going to be world-changing. And everybody's going to see the change. You always talk about change, 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 change. Well, this is going to be a change that everybody on the planet's going to look back and say, I remember when, because this is going to be a change. And the people that notice it that are unsaved are noticing it in a science kind of way. That's what they talk about when they talk about this a remedy for this coronavirus. They say, we need a scientific plan. Science. But you know, I haven't heard anything about a faith-based plan. Something about repentance. Something about telling the Lord you're sorry and repenting and turning back to him. You don't hear anything about that. Nothing. And the Bible says in the last days that people's mind is going to be seared. They're not even going to be able to think about faith and think about the Lord. And their consciences are going to be seared. There's so much sin in the world now, and it's so wicked that man's heart, not even a plague in 200 countries, can get anybody to say, let's tell God we're sorry. You don't even hear the churches talking about it. Signs of the times. And when I began this recording here, I began talking about that the signs of the times, Jesus is coming. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's been preached to people, and people once at one time feared that. That Jesus is coming. Now they put bumper stickers on their truck and says, Jesus is coming. Look busy. You just keep on, buddy. You just keep on with your smart aleck remarks. Every man's going to give account of every word that comes out of his mouth, that came out of his mouth. But the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, in this lesson, we're going to be studying the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, this is such a vast subject. We'd not be able to cover it, everything having to do with the return of Jesus Christ in this study as being an ABC study, because it is so vast. I mean, we're going to just briefly scan over it so that we get the outline of the Lord's return and his coming and what the Bible says about it. But Christ is the main theme of both the returning, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main theme of both testaments in the Word of God, of the Old Testament and the New Testament. You don't hear preachers talk about the second coming, and it's the biggest thing that, and the most frequented thing that's talked about in the Scriptures. I mean, it's talked about more than salvation. It's talked about more than hell. It's talked about more than the virgin birth. More than the deity of Christ. It's talked about His second coming. I mean, in both Testaments, the theme is mentioned more than 15. There's more than 1,500 verses in the Bible that deal directly or indirectly with the subject. So, in this study here, you know, it's such a large subject, and we're not going to duck out anything. We're not going to leave anything out. It's all important. I'm just saying that we're going to ABC study through the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I also have lessons, and I've invited you to email me if you want anything. If you want the scriptures, if you want the lessons, but I have other lessons that I've studied after some knowledgeable men that I trust that the Holy Ghost has given me to study behind. And I have lessons that I've put together concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ a little more in depth and more doctrine having to do with the coming of the Lord. This, we're going to go over the basic outline of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in these other lessons, it gets more in detail. So, having said all that, we will begin here. Now, I don't think I forgot to give you scriptures from the last study, but let me remind you of something, too, while I'm thinking about it, because I'm sure apt to forget. While we're doing these studies, I always do an intro and a exit, if you will, on these intros. Try to make them sound a little decent. I'm not no expert at anything, but try to make them sound like I got a little bit of sense in my head. But if ever we're going through this ABCs of Christian growth and you notice some differences, like for instance, I said that we're going to start the letter R today. Well, there are some studies and some of the letters in this ABCs of Christian growth that I'm continually doing these, and there might be another a lesson on Q that I do between finishing the last Q question off NASS and getting into R. You might hear this introduction, but you might have just, I might have tucked, what I'm trying to say is I might have done another lesson on Q and tucked it in there as Q2 lesson C. And we will be going over that right now. And then when you get into R, you'll hear me say something like, well, we just got out of the lesson Q, questions often asked, and we didn't. We got out of Q2. So if you hear something that's inconsistent like that, it's only because I'm tucking in lessons in other letters. And if we've already passed it, you're apt to hear something like that. Just disregard it as TV didn't know any better, and we'll move on. Okay? All right. Well, introducing this study with some scripture and what the scripture says, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us to be looking for Him, looking for that blessed hope. And not blessed hope as in we're hoping that He's going to come, or we're hoping that He's going to do what He says. We are confident that He is able to perform that which He's promised to us. It's not a hope as in we're hoping He's going to do it. It's a hope as in that's our hope. He's given us hope. We have it. We possess it. And He's coming back. Now, this is what everybody should have been waiting on. This is what all the body of Christ and the church should be waiting on right now. We're supposed to be winning souls, but winning souls is not the priority for the church. The priority for the church is to be waiting for the Lord and be prepared for Him and be about His business, waiting for Him to come. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And that is the what the conversation of our lives the outline of our lives ought to be like is that we live waiting for his return. Somebody asks you, well, what are you doing today? Well, I'm waiting on the Lord to return. And it be the truth. I'm going about my daily life. I'm living today and only today and taking no thought for tomorrow and minding the Lord and giving him glory in my life and trying to help as many people as I can and win souls and be a light to this world, this dark, dark world. But the main thing in my life and in my thought and in my heart is that I'm waiting on my Lord's return. I'm ready to go be with him. I'm ready for him to come and get me. And that's the way you ought to be living. The sense in your head and in your heart ought to be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You ought to be ready to go right this second. If somebody gave you a switch that you could flip and instantly you'd be with the Lord, you ought to be more than willing to hit that. Nothing should hold you back from that. That should be your number one desire, is to be with the Lord. Is to be with him. You should not be so caught up or in love with or liking anything on this earth or in your flesh or anything having to do with the devil, for sure, that would keep you from wanting to be with the Lord right away. Yeah. That's the way we're supposed to be living. And the return of Jesus Christ, it's been prophesied. It's one of the most interesting areas of the Bible, and it's a study that deals with the subject of Bible prophecy, which is things to come. Now, like we said, it's such a large study and such a detailed study that this particular study can only be in an introductory nature in the ABCs of Christian growth. And as you grow in your Christian life, you're going to learn many things from the Bible about the future. Now, the aim of this lesson is to give you the basic framework to build on. And we will, in the future, perhaps, do these, and I say more in depth. I don't even like saying that because I'm not a deep, deep person. I like simple things. But as you grow, you learn the Holy Ghost reveals, how I want to say this, off of the milk and into the meat. And starts giving you more he reveals more of the mystery of his word to you and helps you to understand things. I guess deeper. That's probably why they chose that word, because that's the only one that'll say anything. But as you grow, that's the way it's going to work out. But the aim of this lesson is to give us the framework of it. So you, when we say the return of Jesus Christ, you know what we're talking about from the beginning of what the Bible says to his coming. And we're going to go over some things concerning that. Now, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is one of the fundamental teachings of the Word of God. It's one of the very most important things that the Word of God talks about. For every believer, the coming of Christ is referred to in that verse that we just got through reading a while ago. What did the Bible call the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you get that? Let me read it to you again. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. What's the Bible refer to as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? What's it refer to it as? The blessed hope. The blessed hope. That's what the Bible calls it. A blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So, there being the introduction, let's go ahead and go into some parts of this study. First of all, let's talk about the promise of Christ's coming. Does the Bible promise that Christ is coming again? Did Christ promise that he's coming again? Excuse me. What does the Bible say? Now, we're not interested in what such and such says or such and such says unless they're speaking from the Word of God. Because the Word of God is our doctrine and the Word of God is our truth. That's how we stake what we believe about things. That's our final authority. That's what gives us permission to believe the way that we believe is because thus saith the Lord. And he says it in written form in a literal book called the Word of God that we can hold in our hands and look at and read and understand. And God the Holy Ghost backs those words with his power, and he fulfills them with his power. So the promise of Christ coming, if it's so, you would think that it would be mentioned in the Word of God, right? And if it's a promise, then we want to see what the Word of God says about it. So we'll begin with John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking himself, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." How about that? That's some beautiful scripture, isn't it? Let me ask you something. Is that a promise? Well, if it is a promise, what makes it a promise? Well, first of all, it's because the Lord said it out of his mouth. He said these words. And he comforted us and tells us not to be troubled. He said that you believe in God, believe also in me. And then he began to tell us about this place that he's talking about that's not here. It's somewhere else. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if it wasn't so, now Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But instead, I'm telling you about this place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, did he go? Yes, he did. He ascended. We have witnesses in the scripture that seen it with their own eyes and wrote it down for us to read. He ascended, and the clouds received him. And the angel said, why you stand gazing? He said, this same Jesus is going to return just like he went. So the Bible teaches us that he did go. So he fulfilled that part of this promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now Jesus said to his disciples in verse 3 right there in John chapter 14, verse 3, he said these four words, I will come again. There's your promise. You can claim that verse right there. And if the Lord does not come back and receive us unto himself and take us where he is, he's a liar. And if his word's a lie, then salvation is a lie. And if salvation is a lie, hell is a lie and heaven is a lie. And if hell's a lie, then we don't have nothing to worry about. You just die and you've finish off your life and things. There's no eternity. There's no. Do you realize that if the Bible is a lie, that there's nothing to look forward to? Absolutely nothing. The Bible's the only book on this planet that tells us anything and promises and says it in a matter-of-fact way that there is anything beyond this life. The Bible doesn't go out of its way to talk about this life. The Bible doesn't like this life. This life that we live in the flesh, the Bible doesn't brag about this. As a matter of fact, it tells you the truth about how miserable it is to live in this manner that we live, in this cursed earth, in this cursed environment, in this fallen state. The Bible talks about how miserable that is. And then, instead, everything else it talks about is prophecy about things to come. Things that aren't like what we live in now. And that's what the Lord's talking about. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And the reason for that is that he just got through telling them where he's going. He's going to his Father's house in the third heaven, and he did. The promise of Christ's coming. He promised it in John 14:1-4. Here's another one. That's not all. Acts 1:11. Which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" Now, these are the angels. Remember when the Lord ascended and everybody was standing around watching him go up and a cloud received him? And then all of a sudden there were two men standing there. The Bible calls angels men. They look like men. There's never a woman angel ever, ever, ever. And they don't have wings. Just a little additive there. Which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, is that a promise? Does the Bible promise us that Jesus is coming back in that verse right there? Why, it sure does. It promises us through the angels. That was written down by the writer of Acts and what they said. They said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the same one that just left, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, either the Bible's promising us right there, and it is a promise that he's coming, because if he doesn't come, what does it make it? If these angels prophecy right there what they said to these people, that he's coming back, if it doesn't come true, what does that make the angels? It makes them liars. And it makes God's word untrue. And it's not a blessed hope anymore. It's a false hope. And God's word is not a false hope. I can testify that to you right now. From my own mouth and my own heart. God's word is alive. It is powerful and it lives. It's the power of God. It can change anything. Anything. And it's truth and it's pure. Every word of God is pure. The promise of Christ's coming. What's the Bible say? What did the two angels say that was the promise? They said, "This same Jesus." Not the 50-foot one that's standing in the water on the beach over in California somewhere. Not the one that such and such seen at the foot of their bed. The devil has many Jesuses. You're talking about this same Jesus, the one that spoke the prior words in John chapter 14. This same Jesus, the one that's risen, that everybody, that the witness has seen, raised over 500 at one time, seen raised from the dead. That people witnessed him be slaughtered and murdered on a cross and come back alive. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. He's coming. Or is there liars? The promise of Christ's coming. We're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. Does the Bible say that Jesus is going to return? Yes, it does. And it does in promise form. The Bible says, "I promise you he's coming back." Because there's two angels. Listen to what they say. "This same Jesus shall so in like manner, shall so come in like manner as you seen him go away." Or go into heaven. And then John, in the book of John, the writer of John, the Lord Jesus Christ himself promised that he was coming. He said that where I go, in John chapter 17, the Lord promised when he was praying to his heavenly Father. He said, "I will that these, that you take them not out of the world, but that they may be with me where I am." The Lord said that. Jesus Christ's desire is for the bride of Christ, us, to be with him. And the only thing being left to do, the only thing waiting, is the fulfilling, is the filling of the body of Christ, is for everybody that's going to get saved, gets saved. Nobody's left behind. So whenever the body of Christ goes out, everybody on the planet has gone to one way or another, have had an opportunity to receive Christ and have denied him. And they're going to go into the tribulation. But moving along, that's not all. The promise of Christ's coming, listen to this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. Let's see if it promises us that. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Does that promise us that Christ is coming back? Why, it sure does. It says, so Christ was once offered. That's how many times he... Hey, listen, Catholics. Christ is not offered every Mass. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says Christ was offered one time for many. He died for all men. The Bible says, so Christ was offered, once offered, to bear the sins of many. And many not mean in a selective way. Many means those that will come to him. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. The second coming of Christ, the return of Jesus Christ, that's what we're talking about, appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Not talking about being born again, but talking about getting us out of here. The third phase of our salvation, which is taking us out of the presence of sin. That's a promise, isn't it? Does the Bible promise that Christ's coming? Yes, it does. Jesus said, I will come again. Now, either he's telling the truth or he's not. The angel said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner. Now, either they're standing down there talking to those people that just watched Jesus ascend, something that people can't do. You can't go into heaven on your own power. Try it. It doesn't happen. But Jesus did. And those people that were standing around watching it, all of a sudden there were two men standing there questioning why they were so surprised at seeing him go away like that. Said, this same Jesus is coming back, the same way he left. That's a promise. Why did they say that to them? Because they didn't want to leave them alone thinking, what's going to happen now? So they gave them a promise. Did he come back during their lifetime? No. They went to him. Has he come back yet in our lifetime? It's mighty close, brothers and sisters. Very, very close. I've heard preachers preach that when I was coming up from a boy. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's true. And if you put time in the frame of the Lord's way of thinking of time, it ain't been that long. And there are people that are, the Bible tells us, that are saying, where is God? Where is the signs of his coming? Well, since the fathers fell asleep, they've been saying this thing, that Christ is coming. You'll see. Either Christ is a liar and the angels are liars. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28... the Bible says Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and the writer of Hebrews said, and unto them that look shall he appear the second time. And that's what we're looking for, isn't it? We get our minds off on concerns of being careful, like we was talking about that last lesson, of things on this earth, but in our hearts we yearn for our Lord, and we're waiting for our Lord. We are. Or either the writer of Hebrews is a liar. That's not all. The promise of Christ coming. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, either Christ is coming, or this man that wrote 1 John is a liar. But I don't believe he's a liar. I don't believe any of them are liars. I don't believe God's word has a lie around it or about it at all. It's pure. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The promise of Christ's coming. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, it's assuming that he is not guessing whether or not he's going to appear. The writer there is assuming that he is coming. He is fully confident that the Lord's coming, and he says when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before his coming. Before him at his coming. And we definitely don't want to be that, do we? We don't want to be ashamed when the Lord comes. Is there anything in your life that if the Lord were to come and he caught you doing that you'd be ashamed of? Is there anything in your house that if the Lord were to come that you'd be ashamed of having in there? We need to walk. The Bible says we're children of light. Walk ye as children of light. Walk as children of light. And we do it because we love the Lord, not because we have to. We don't have to. Has the Lord ever twisted any of y'all's arm and told you, you will do this and you will do that? He ain't never tried to force your will. He's let you have your own way. Until he got fed up with it and started teaching you, put you back behind the barn and gonna teach you a little stricter lessons. Because he loves you though. But the Lord doesn't, he gives you a choice. You want to act like a fool and go out and cause yourself some troubles and cause your flesh, bringeth forth death. You want to go out there and do all that sinful stuff and be involved in sin and soak around in the mud hole for a while. You're going to come to yourself. And you're going to remember back when you was at Daddy's house when things were so good. And you're going to know that the servants had it better than you got it right now, and you eating a pig slop. And it's time to go ahead and get back to Daddy. And if that's what you need to do, you ought to do it right away. You ought to tell the Lord you're sorry and repent and confess what you've been doing to him and doing in your life and ask him to clean you up. And then quit what you're doing. Don't ever do it again. And live to give the Lord glory. And the Lord will help you right on through it. He sure will. He is a wonderful, merciful, kind Lord. There are no other gods. He is God. And he's a wonderful God. He is the wonderful God. And he's coming back. His Son is coming back. The promise of Christ's coming. Jesus said, I will come again. The angel said that he's going to come in like manner. And that the promise in Hebrews states that Christ shall appear, and he's going to appear the second time. He appeared the first time in the first coming as a babe in the flesh, God in the flesh. And he's going to appear the second time, glorified God in the flesh, in the spiritual body. That's not all. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we read that. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And then along with that is 1 John 3, 2. And it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Why would some joker stand up there and write something like that to many, many hundreds of generations and write something like that and it not be true and make promises like that? See, all these promises are not for this life. They're promises for when Christ comes and takes us out of this life, out of this body, or changes us into our new body. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not gonna be. We're the sons of God now, if you've been born again. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You can't figure out how we're gonna be because you don't know. Now, as the Lord is changing you right here while you're in the body, and you're beginning to see the changes that the Lord is changing in you, and you love them, don't you? You're going to fall in love with the person that the Lord's making out of you. Not in a selfish way or a haughty way, but in an appreciative way. Thank you, Lord. I never realized what you were doing, what you're doing. And the Lord is conforming you into the image of Christ, making you like the Lord Jesus Christ, day by day. But now it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, now the Bible says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Yea, glory to God. What a promise. Does that sound like a promise of a second coming of the Lord? Sure it does. And we've only read just a few of them. Let's read one more. We're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? There's a lot of people that don't believe this and are not going to believe it and will insist on not believing it and deceive themselves and talk themselves into not believing this on purpose, even though they know he's coming. He's coming. But the return of Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? Does it promise Christ coming back? Yes, it does. We've already read four or five of them. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, listen to this. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. What'd the Lord say right there? The last promise of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, the last promise that he said in the Scriptures before he quit talking and closed the book and issued it to us down through history was, behold, I come quickly. When he says when it's time and the Father says, okay, son, it's time, bam, it happens. Could be today. Do you know that there's a plague taking over the world? I don't know how it's going to end up. I'm talking why it's going on right now. I guess it's been about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, something like that. I hadn't been keeping up with it, but that this virus has been growing throughout the earth and the planet. And this is the only thing in my lifetime that has ever happened over the entire planet like this. You read of it in the Scriptures, you talk of it, and the Bible says perilous times shall come, dangerous times. But you know something peculiar about this I was talking about a while ago is that nobody at all has mentioned the possibility that this could be in the control of the Lord, or that the Lord has an opinion about this, of what's going on. Nobody. They're all trying to figure it out by science and money funding America with fake money and keep the economic structure going. They're trying to save man, trying to save the ship. But they're not trying to control the storm. They're not trying to talk to the one that controls the storm. But anyway, that's the way the world's supposed to go. And that's the signs of the times. Peculiar that this study should pop up right now. But it's good. The return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Does the Bible promise that he's coming back? Yes, it does. And we've just been over, like I said, the ABC part of it, just to outline this thing. And we have been over about six or seven scriptures during this lesson alone to start this study out about whether or not the Bible says that he's coming back. Does it say that? Yes. He said, I will come again. The angel said, so shall come in like manner. The Bible says a promise, this promise in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8, says that he shall appear the second time. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 and 1 John 3, 2, the Bible says both these verses says Christ shall appear. It says when he shall appear. And 1 John 28 says, when he shall appear. And then the last one we just got through reading was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the last thing he said about himself in the scriptures. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. So can we believe, according to the scriptures, and only to the scriptures, that the Bible teaches us and says and promises us that Christ is coming? Yes, we can. And we do. Christ is coming. So that's what we're going to begin with right there. This is going to be our first recording for the return of Jesus Christ. The letter R, study number 18. So what do you think? Are you glad that the Word of God teaches us and promises us that Christ is coming? Listen, if the Bible didn't promise us that Christ was coming back, we would be in the frame of mind, and probably are, and I am, in the frame of mind of what the Apostle Paul said. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is all we got to look forward to, what a miserable life to have. They talking about getting better and better and better and better, and mankind and humanity is going to bring in the kingdom and blah, 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 and nobody can see anything of that happening. Everything is getting worse. All generations and errors and everything that man goes through ends in apostasy. Man turns away from God and engulfs and indulges himself into the flesh and sin and gets worse and worse and worse until the Lord has to come in and wipe it out. And if you tell yourself the truth, you have to say those things. If you're going to live by truth, you have to confess those things. Science even teaches it. They're talking about how science supports such humanity and the bringing in of the kingdom. Science does nothing of the sort. Science teaches entropy, that everything is falling apart. That's not good news. Not good news for somebody that wants to stay here. But for those that are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, it's good news to me because I don't want to live on this earth. Do you want to live on this earth forever? What if the Lord gave you a choice to live on this earth forever in a forever state in this state that you're in here on this planet? Would you want to live for eternity on this earth in the state that it's in? Man, you're a nut if you do. This place has got to be changed. And the Lord's coming back to do that, praise Him. Aren't you glad? I am. All right, well, we're going to quit right there. Let me give you these verses. You ready? Titus chapter 2, verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. All right, that covers our first lesson in the return of Jesus Christ, the letter R and the ABCs of Christian growth. Thank you for honoring the Lord, and thank you for putting time aside for the Lord on purpose. The Lord will honor that, and He will bless you for it. And if you don't already know it, you will know it. And I suppose the reason that you're doing this is because you already know that the Lord blesses your faithfulness and blesses your discipline toward His Word. God bless you for that. Well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you as my brother and sister in Christ. And if you're not born again and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you need to, and you need to today, because Christ is coming. The next thing that we're going to topic we're going to talk about, the return of Jesus Christ, is the first coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about His first coming. That'll be on the next lesson. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.